Welcome to the Darlington Christian Fellowship online service this Sunday, the 25th of April 2021. It's a pleasure to have you here, even though we can't all be physically together in the one place, we can still worship the Lord together. And so grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are present with us wherever we are. And Lord, we lift up our hearts to you. We put them into submission to you. We thank you that you have us in your kingdom. And Lord, we worship you and we look forward to hearing from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll begin our service by singing the song, Put on the Garment of Praise. And then we'll follow that with I Am a New Creation. So if you go to the link, the YouTube link for Garment of Praise, and sing along, and then follow that with the link to I Am a New Creation. We will now have a time of prayer and have a reflection time as well with an Anzac focus, this being Anzac Day. So with the people with you in the room, if you're with others, then take turns in praying and reflecting on Anzac Day, thanking the Lord. If you're on your own, then pray alone. And I'll just start off. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have people who have been willing to sacrifice their lives for us in the service of our country. Thank you for the country you've made us to be. And Lord, we pray for our country that we would be a country that honours you. So I pray that we would stand firm for you and that you would have mercy on us as a land. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. After having that time of stopping the recording to pray together and to reflect on Anzac Day, we will now have two songs. The first one, Psalm 23, I Will Trust in You Alone. And the second one, By Faith We See the Hand of God. So once again, you can go to the YouTube links for those two songs. Welcome back. We will now read from God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 22. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 22. And I'll let you open your own Bibles. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered, once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. We now have opportunity to sing two more songs, Be Exalted, O God, and Great Southland of the Holy Spirit. So once again, you can go to the YouTube links for those two songs. Welcome back again. It's time for the message. So now you'll need to switch off this recording to go to the other recording, which has the message on it. Good morning to you all this Anzac Day 2021. We're now going to turn to God's Word, and we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 22. And I've entitled this, Choose Your Fear. I'll just pray to start. Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us your word. We want to delight in your presence and we want to become more like Christ. So I pray that you would open our ears to what you have to say to us this morning, that those things might happen. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to have a look at what Peter is saying in his letter, 1 Peter, it's first important to know about the person of King Ahaz. So first of all, we're going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 16. King Ahaz, the situation is in verse 5, Syria and northern Israel, the 10 tribes that split off from Israel, they're besieging Jerusalem. And King Ahaz is the king. He's at the time, he has a choice. He has a choice whether to turn to God, bearing in mind that God has promised that I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So he's sitting on David's throne, and that promise is there for the throne that he's sitting on. But instead, verse 7, Ahaz goes to the king of Assyria, who is the superpower at the time. He says to the king of Assyria, I am your servant and your son. And it's interesting, there are two things that are said about Israel in relation to God. That Israel is God's servant, Israel is God's son, but he's making himself the servant and son of the king of Assyria. He says, come up and rescue me from the hand of the king of Syria and from the hand of the king of Israel who are attacking me. And then King Ahaz pays tribute to the king of Assyria, and in effect, he is taking the tiger by the tail. And from that time on, there is no more sovereign kings on David's throne until the time of Jesus. They are all paying tribute or in subjection to other kings and other kingdoms. And then we'll go to Isaiah chapter 8. And we're going here because Peter makes a quotation from Isaiah chapter 8 and then lots of various allusions to Isaiah chapter 8 as well. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, he just sets the scene. Syria and northern Israel are threatening Jerusalem, and the hearts of King Ahaz and his people are trembling. And so in chapter 8, the Lord said to Isaiah, basically he's saying, don't follow in the footsteps of Judah's leaders who are following after the kings of Assyria to rescue them. The Lord says to Isaiah, verse 12, chapter 8, verse 12, do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. Do not fear what Ahaz is and his people are fearing. Verse 13, the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Then he says, let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he will become a sanctuary. And Isaiah's response to the Lord with all this is, in verse 17, I will wait for the Lord, I will hope in him. So rather than hoping in the king of Assyria, he is hoping in the Lord. Now we'll go to 1 Peter from here, and we'll spend the rest of the time in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter overall, looking at the whole book, there's lots of references to Christ's first coming, and there's also lots of references to Christ's second coming. And so in this in-between time, the people receiving Peter's letter, they are having the genuineness of their faith. The genuineness of their faith has been tested, it says in chapter 1, verse 7. And the overall message of the whole book is best summed up in chapter 5, verse 10. So as I read through the whole book, this is a key verse that summed up the whole book. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. The section that we're looking at, 1 Peter 3, from verse 13 onwards, I've divided it into three separate bits. So verse 13, the first little bit, Our life as God's people is a blessed life. And then halfway through verse 14, there's a section, choose your fear. These are the options of what you choose between. And then from verse 17 to the end of the chapter, choose your fear. And this is the argument for choosing fear of the Lord. Of the two options presented to you, this is why you should choose fear of the Lord. So going back to verse 13, our life as God's people is a blessed life. Now, for those who are righteous, there are times of non-suffering. Verse 14 says, even if you should suffer. And that is saying that suffering is uncertain. It's not necessarily happening right at this time. But there will be times of suffering. Verse 16 says, when you are slandered. So for those who are righteous, there are times of non-suffering. There are times of suffering. But in all times, there is blessing. So if people are making life difficult for you, you are blessed. If there is worries in your life, you are blessed. If there are health concerns, you are blessed. If there are financial concerns for you at the moment, you are blessed. If work is not working out for you, you are blessed. If there's issues with your family and with relationships, you are blessed. And with this blessing, that is saying that there's a benefit, but it's not saying that you're getting your own way or that there'll be immediate reward. If we have a look at what blessing means for Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and then verse 7, he says, I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing to your offspring. I will give this land. And then as soon as God had given the blessing to Abram, then he says in verse 10, now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. So the land that had just been promised that Abram would be blessed with, straight away he's having to leave that land behind and go to a place where in fact he's fearful for his life. So the blessing that we're talking about is more to do, not so much to do about getting your own way, but it's more to do with being a benefit which is aligned to God's purposes. We'll go on to the next section. Choose your fear. These are the options. So the first option, option A, fear all the threats and obstacles that life throws at you. That's one possible thing. As life throws obstacles at you, you could fear those and respond to those. In verse 14 in the ESV, it says, have no fear of them, nor be troubled. So have no fear of the ones causing you trouble. But just to unpack what's actually being said there, this is actually a quotation from directly from Isaiah 8 verse 12 that we read before. And so the same words appear in the Greek Testament Old Testament that was being used by Peter during the first century, the Septuagint, and the same phrase is used here. So do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread, is what is said in Isaiah. The Greek is saying, fear not the fear of them, and be not distressed. So it's saying, don't fear those who cause you trouble, and don't fear like those who cause you trouble fear. So don't fear those who cause you trouble. I'll just give an example here of someone I've came across recently, just on a Focus on the Family video clip. It was somebody being interviewed, Kathy Grace Duncan, and she had been a transgender woman who was identifying as a man, and she was 100% content with her life identifying as a man. But as she looked back, once the Lord had wooed her and she re-embraced identifying as a woman, as the Lord had set her free, then she looked back and realized that she was living that way, she was identifying as a man because she was living out of fear. Her parents had been dysfunctional. Her father was abusing her mother. And so she saw her mother as being weak and vulnerable and hated, and the father as being hating and abusive in his power. And she didn't want to be like her mother. And she wanted to be the man that her father wasn't, so that she could save women. So hence, she was living in a way that God hadn't created her to be, because she was living out of fear. Now, the second thing going on here with this option A, don't fear like those who cause you trouble do. When, just for another example, when I was a fairly new Christian, I was doing some street ministry, and this was on a Friday night. So I would have my dinner before I went out onto the street with the team that we were working with. And the shops would be open for a certain time, maybe till 9 o'clock, I don't know what it was. And then we'd be out on the streets till 11 o'clock. But I was living in fear that I would be so hungry by the time I got to 11 o'clock that I would end up taking time out from the ministry that I was doing to go to the shops to get food. And so in effect, I was having two dinners not fully being focused on the task because I was living out of fear. So it's important to consider yourself. So is there anything in your life where you're responding out of fear rather than, we'll look at the alternative, option B. And option B is fear the Lord. So we can either fear the circumstances, like King Ahaz feared his circumstances, the threats that he was facing, or then verse 15 goes on to say, do such and such. And then verse 16 says, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience. Now, what's being said here in the Greek is, but with gentleness and phobos, with fear. So same word, it picks up on the same phobos that was used for option A. So with gentleness and reverence, but it's the same thing with the gentleness and fear. That is the other thing, that's the other option, is to fear the Lord. Isaiah chapter 8, there's an allusion here to the bit that said, let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Now, this might sound like the Lord would have us curl up in a corner trembling before him, but one commentator said it's more like, always regard the displeasure of God as more fearful than the displeasure of men. So to fear the Lord, what is involved? What does it mean to fear the Lord? It talks about having a good conscience. And what is this good conscience? Well, the conscience is a self-awareness of our moral goodness or badness. And if we look down at verse 21, it talks about baptism. People who, in repentance, have come to the Lord for baptism have made an appeal to God for a good conscience. So the good conscience is something that is granted to them by God, and it's granted to them through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know that when the resurrection of Christ is applied to somebody's life, the Lord has nothing to hold against us. And we have nothing to hide from the Lord. The resurrection applies right from conception to the end of life. If we don't fear the Lord, we'll end up holding on to bits of badness that we treasure. If we do fear the Lord, we will hand over all of ourselves to him who redeems us. We will hold nothing back. Now, fear the Lord, what else is involved? And we go back to verse 15 here. Verse 15 says, in your hearts, honour Christ as the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. And they're not two separate things here. They're not, well, if you want to not fear the things around you, the threats around you, then honor Christ the Lord, however you might do that. And then once you're honoring the Lord, then hope in him. Rather, they're two things that go together. Honor the Lord by hoping in him. And if we hope, then we are honoring the Lord. So that's all one idea that's put into that sentence. And what does this hope look like? And Isaiah gives us a clue, because Isaiah in chapter 8, the man Isaiah, he says, "The Lord of hosts," or the Lord says to Isaiah, "The Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy." And in response, Isaiah says, "I will wait for the Lord." So he will wait for the Lord to deliver in the Lord's timing. He says, "I will hope in him." So I won't hope in the king of Assyria. I will hope in the Lord. And it's interesting to note that this all happens in hearts. It doesn't happen in heads. So we don't make a defense by knowing doctrine and splurting it out to those around us, to those who ask. Rather, we spend time day by day in the presence of our Lord, refreshing on what he says about himself, growing in our confidence in him when he promises deliverance, knowing that he will deliver on his promises. And as we do this, hope wells up within us. And as our response to the difficulties that we face is based on having done this, then people around us will notice. So we see in verses 14b to 16, this section here, that the response that you make to the threats and obstacles that life throws at you, that determines which fear you've chosen. And it's evident that Peter is saying, choose the fear of the Lord. And he goes on in the next section, verses 17 to 22, to make an argument as to why to choose fear of the Lord. You can hear the readers of Peter's letter, when they got the letter from Peter, saying, "Peter, you don't understand. The man of influence in the town, he tells others not to buy things from us, so that we're struggling to get by here. We can't get water because the people see us refusing to offer idols at the temple, so they won't let us go to the well to fetch our water. We've been bullied. We've been beaten. You don't know what we're going through, Peter." So Peter's asking, are there any circumstances in which it would be better to be driven by worldly fears rather than by fear of the Lord? And Peter's answer is no. Verse 17, no, always stick with fear of the Lord, because it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Why is it better to suffer for doing good? Well, in the next few verses, from verse 18 onwards, he looks at three groups of people, and he looks at their conduct in terms of good or evil. And then he looks at the consequence of them having been good or evil. And then he looks at the conclusion, what came of it in the end. So first of all is Christ. Christ did good. He, in verse 18, he was a sacrifice of the righteous one for the unrighteous, and he suffered for it with his death in the flesh, but good came of it. Christ was made alive in the spirit, so it was good came of it for himself, and good came of it for us because we were brought to God. So we see Christ is our example of suffering for doing good and good coming of it. And then the next group, we have the spirits. The spirits did evil. I won't go into detail here about who the spirits are. The commentators say various things. Suffice it to say, I consider them to be the sons of God at the beginning of Genesis chapter 6. And formerly, they did not obey, it says in verse 20. They suffered for it. They were put in prison, that says in verse 19, and hopelessness came of it. Only the righteous one, that's Noah, and those belonging to him were saved, it says in verse 20. So that is, the spirits missed out on being saved. And I think the summary of what Peter's getting at there is, if you're trying to fight your own way out of your fears, even the mightiest cannot prevail without the Lord. Now, the third group is God's people, and God's people do good. So they're repentant and they come to him in baptism and they suffer for it. In chapter 4, verse 1, it talks about there being periods of suffering in the flesh, and good comes of it. In verse 22, it talks about Christ having all powers subjected to him. So we, God's people, the ones who have been brought to God, as it said in verse 18, we belong to him who has all powers subjected to him. And so we have hope. Whatever is causing us suffering will not prevail. We are full of hope. Now, here's the last word on today's passage. All of us are going to face situations. We need to choose whether we're driven by fear of the situation, like King Ahaz did, or whether we're going to let God be our fear, like Isaiah did. Whether we're going to honour Christ and be ready with hope, whether we're going to continually seek our sanctuary in him, and all the time knowing that struggles are inevitable and they're useful. And they're useful because, firstly, the genuineness of our faith is being tested, and secondly, they are a window into the kingdom for the peoples around us as they see our hope in our Lord outweigh any of our sufferings. I invite you all to bow your heads in prayer. Lord, thank you that we can bask in your presence and keep prompting us to give ourselves fully to you each day. May we fear keeping anything hidden from you. May you reveal to us bits we are holding back from you. And thank you for the joy that comes with our hope in you. In Jesus' name. We're going to finish with a song that talks about our strength being in the Lord's name. Only he can save us. He will deliver. His is the victory. Nothing formed against us shall stand. The whole world is in his hands, and we hold on to the promises of him. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The God of angel armies is always by my side. Let's join in song.